thank you for your time today. Again, if you have questions, just ask. We don't have to wait to the end. My presentation shouldn't take that long. That's fine. We're good? Okay. Okay. So, again, today I'm going to be talking about doubly repeated measures. And while that's a very large category, mostly what we're going to be focused on is data based on the oral glucose tolerance test. Now, to give you a little background about oral glucose tolerance test, this is generally done in a diabetic population, and see how when they take in glucose, 75 milliliters, how it gets into their bloodstream and it'll go out. So subjects are given the glucose solution, and then they're measured at four time points. You have a baseline time point, and then every 60 minutes after that, so you for a total of four time points. And overall, what we want to know from this type of data is, do the glucose profiles differ? So to get a little more into the notation, you'll see that, again, we have four time points, 0, 60, 120, and 180. The zero time point is right before the glucose solution is given. We're going to have two visits. So in this case, we're going to have a treatment and control group. The visits relate to before any type of treatment is given, and then the that's visit one, and then visit two is going to be after the treatment is given. So you have kind of almost, you have doubly repeated measures, and we have to figure out how to analyze the baseline from it. So just to go over the little example here, we see that in this plot, blue shows a treatment and red shows the control. The solid lines represent what happens before any type of treatment is given, and then the dotted are what happens afterwards. So we see in this example that the overall glucose profiles for the treatment groups are a little lower, and for the control group, same. So we have lots of data, and we got to figure out how they're different, and if so, what measures are we going to use? Now, what's traditionally done for almost 100 years is the area under the curve approach. Area under the curve is a relatively simplistic measure to calculate. There's a lot of different formulas to use, but the main one done in the research is the trapezoid rule. So if you look at this picture here, if we had the red overall curve, the blue area would be the area we're measuring using the trapezoid rule. Because all our time points are spaced equally apart, the area in the curve is proportional to an overall weighted mean, and we can see it here, denoted AIJ. So we see that the area in the curve is actually just downweighting the first time point and the last time point. But overall, it's basically the overall mean. Now, again, we'll have a visit one, that's before the treatment is given, and visit two, which is after. So what we're going to do is get the area in the curve before and the area in the curve after, and then subtract those two areas in the curves. And then we'll use a relatively simplistic approach of just a two-sample t-test. We're going to test if the difference from the treatment group, the difference between area in the curve between visit one and visit two from the treatment group, is different than the visit two, visit one, area in the curve for the control group. So that's what's traditionally done. Again, this is what the literature says to do. Now, a lot of this goes back to non-statisticians, mostly lay statistical people using this method. So I want to kind of more introduce a more statistical approach. So I'd like to use a mixed model. So with the mixed model, instead of modeling both the visit 1 and visit 2 data, we're just going to be modeling the differences between visit 1 and visit 2. So we'll denote this response as Z. So based on those pictures before, instead of having four lines, now we just have two. So we can see, again, the red here is treatment. So it appears treatment has a little bit of an effect, but the control group does something a little greater. Now, what we want to test in the model is that we're not interested in the time effect. So I don't care that the time at 0 is different than 60, is different than 20, is different than 180. I want to see if the two treatments are different. So it's the distance between here and here. Is that zero? Is the difference between here and here zero? Here and here, and then here and here. So I'll do that by setting up a slightly unusual linear model where I have an overall intercept, a time effect which is categorical, and a treatment by time interaction. Now what this treatment by time is going to be testing is the 4 degrees of freedom test that I spoke about earlier. It's testing whether this isn't here, here, zero, here, here, here and here, and then here and here, all zero. So that's the test we're going to look at for this type of data. And again, we're just going to use a simple F-based statistic. I'm not going to get anything fancy with it yet. Okay. So now, to see how these approaches work, we'd like to simulate some data. So overall, we have 8 means from the control group and 8 means from the treatment group. We're going to set all of these 16 means equal to each other. So again, the visit 1 and visit 2 are equal, and treatment 1 and treatment 2 are equal. So everything's equal. So we expect to see nothing happen. So because we want to simulate under the null hypothesis. Now, we could also simulate, because we look at change, where the difference is zero, but I just want to, again, focus on the simplest situation where all 16 means are equal, but the means here are equal to these means here, here and here, here and here. So the time points may not be time. Each time may have a different mean, but there's no differences between treatment groups. So my simulation will consist of 25 subjects from each treatment group. I'll have a visit 1 and visit 2, and then I'll do 1,000 replicants. Now the data for this simulation is based on real data obtained from Pennington Biomedical Center. So, first let's look at this table. Overall, the first thing we want to look at is how many times we reject a null hypothesis when we generated data under the null. So we see here, area in the curve has a type 1 error rate of about 0.05, exactly what we want to see. But the mixed model has slightly higher results, 0.063. So it has a higher type 1 error rate, but it's not that much higher. So then what I decided to look at was we have these 1,000 p-values, and they're in pairs. We have an area and a curve p-value and a mixed model p-value. So what we can do is plot them against each other. Now, these tests should be testing about the same thing. They're different tests. They have different degrees of freedom. They rely on different distributions. But we hope they're kind of testing the overall same thing, the equivalence between these two profiles. So what we'd like to see is these tests kind of line up across this line of symmetry between the two axes. However, we don't see that at all. We see it spread out almost everywhere. So if we look, let's take this p-value right here. We see that the mixed model p-value is rather low, less than 0.1, but the area on the curve p-value is rather high, greater than 0.9. So in that situation, these models have vastly different conclusions. And that's interesting to see that you can get such different results. Another point, and you can see it here a little bit, but there seems to be a strict kind of upward bound on this. And I can simulate higher numbers of results, and you can see it clear, but then you lose all, you can't see any of the points. But what this is telling us, with this area missing, this is telling us that if the area in the curve has a small p-value, relatively speaking, the mixed model will too. There are no situations possible that the mixed model had a high p-value and the area on the curve had a low p-value. So that's fairly interesting to see that, again, you don't have any kind of symmetry going on. It's just this one setting right here that's strange. So I want to look into this. I can't get data from here because it doesn't exist. So I'll look on the other side, again, where it's most extreme, where we're getting a high area in the curve p-value but a relatively low mixed model p-value. What does this situation look like? Why do we get such vastly different results here? Okay. So when we do that, so here's an example of just one of those overall data sets. And these are, here's the data based on overall means and then the profiles. So I know it's a little hard to see, but if we look closely, you can see that the blue line, the solid blue, is always above the dotted blue. So the visit one is always above visit two for treatment. Whereas with the control group, the solid red is not necessarily always above the visit two control group. So that's going to be interesting in a second, because when we look at these differences in area in the curve, I'll go back to here, even though the red's going to have higher area in the curve for these first 2 points, but then for this third, for the dotted line, it's going to have higher area in the curve here. So it's like canceling each other out. Because the area in the curve only looks at the overall sum total, you can't pick up the differences as well. So here, again, using that data with the mixed model, we see that it does have pretty big differences. And again, for this one example, we have a p-value of basically 0.2 for the area on the curve and less than 0.01 for the mixed model. So it's because of these situations that I think the mixed model may be more appropriate to use in this doubly repeated measures. Again, there's no cases where you have a high mixed p-value and a low area on the curve p-value. Again, that's because the crossing, when the profiles cross, the area on the curve p-value gets rather big, but the mixed model can still pick up those differences. So what we'll do, what I plan on doing in the future is investigating the power of these tests. So here we see that the type 1 error rate is about the same, but I want to look at the power under these doubly repeated measures. So, again, here are some associates that helped me with this presentation, and I open the floor to questions. Thank you. So I didn't show these results, but I started looking at the power already. When we have, so you're right, there's never that big of a difference, but there are situations where the area in the curve actually performs better. It's when all the time points are, let's just say, there's no crossing occur, but when all the time points are slightly greater, you do pick up differences there. But yes, so you're right, you never see that difference. So, yeah, so again, this is historical what's been done. I agree it shouldn't be done, but I can't convince researchers who have worked on this for, 30 years to say, no, you need the mixed model. No, I've always used t-tests for 30 years. So to try to get them, that's why I like to try to visualize this and try to help them as much as possible. Statistically, it's not that interesting of a topic, but to try to get researchers to visualize to say, hey, what's going on? Most of them don't even understand what area in the curve is. They just take it as a measure. Okay, this is one measure. I like it. They don't like looking at individual means because that's too complicated for them. Thank you.